Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Biden drops out. I'm Sherry Preston. World leaders are reacting to the news that President Biden has withdrawn from the 2024 presidential race. Here's ABC's Tom Rivers at the foreign desk.
At the recent NATO summit, Keir Starmer said after his one-on-one with Joe Biden, he was sharp. Now that same prime minister says he respects the president's decision. Elsewhere, Germany's Olaf Scholz, whose party recently came in a dismal third in EU elections, was quick to praise the man who said Nord Stream 2 would not come online. Elsewhere in Russia, questions persist as to whether the decision was in fact voluntary.
Now, as for the Republican nominee, former President Donald Trump.
We know from our sources that the Trump team has been building a book to take on Kamala Harris, attack her for some of her past statements, and do everything they can to tie her to Joe Biden.
That's ABC senior investigative producer John Santucci. This is ABC News. A wildfire in Salt Lake City, not far from the state capitol, has forced evacuations. Firefighters going door to door to order people out. Utah fire officials don't know exactly how the blaze began, but they say it was human caused. Storms spinning up some serious cash at the movies.
Guys, whatever's in there, it's big and it's moving fast.
They ran toward the tornadoes at movie box offices this weekend. Twisters with a blockbuster opening. $80.5 million in ticket sales in North America, say studio estimates. A sequel to the 1996 hit Twister with different characters.
Look up.
Universal also had the number two movie, Despicable Me 4, in 3 weeks, grabbing over $259 million domestically. Inside Out 2 third, Long Legs 4th. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Messaging platform WhatsApp trying a new trick, instant translations. It's reportedly working on a feature that would automatically translate messages sent in another language. No word yet on when it will be available. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris will be visiting Milwaukee next Tuesday for a campaign event. Harris has already visited Wisconsin 4 times this year. The vice president's arrival in Milwaukee will come just days after the city hosted the Republican National Convention. Harris last visited Milwaukee in May, where she discussed her administration's economic policies. Two Ohio police officers who shot and killed a man outside the Republican National Convention have been investigated in the past for uses of force. Nicholas Mason was cleared of charges in 2017 after killing a man during a traffic stop. Adam Groves was sued in 2016 for wrongful arrest and excessive use of force. Mason and Groves were part of a visiting police bicycle unit from Columbus. Activists and mourners of Samuel Sharp Jr., the man shot and killed, are criticizing Milwaukee officials for hosting the RNC and bringing in out-of-state police. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Packers training camp underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beginning their training camp practices in helmets and shorts for the first few days. 28-year-old Kenny Clark signing a new 3-year deal that will pay the defensive lineman $64 million. Baseball, the Brewers sweeping the Twins in a 2-game match over the weekend, winning 8-7 thanks to 4 home runs, 2 from catcher Eric Haas. The Crew is in Chicago tonight against the Cubs, who won on Sunday but lost a 3-game series at home to Arizona. A reporter asked about Christopher Morrell's batting style at the plate.
The at-bats, thinking like the seventh inning with Morrell, there's a tying run at second. He's looked like he was swinging for the leg there. I don't know.
Come on, Jesse. Come on. That
That's your comment?
Well, yeah, I'm wondering about...
I think that's a bad take.
Why?
That's a bad take. He's swinging for the lake. That's a bad take.
Why is that? Why is that a bad
He's take? Having a good at bat trying to hit the ball hard. It didn't work. The pitcher made a good pitch. He made an out.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 81 for a high this afternoon with a light breeze out of the north switching to the west here by later this afternoon. Partly cloudy and calm tonight, 64 tomorrow. Partly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms and a high tomorrow right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it is 60.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to the Pewaukee Public Library about all the wonderful things going on there that you can take advantage of. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Whacked coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Okay.
All right. We're talking politics.
What?
Kamala Harris.
Yes. Yes, we
running
are.
Running for president.
Yes, yeah. She is. 7:06, 65 degrees. Highs today about 80. Talk to Brittany Merlot in about 20 minutes and get an update on weather for this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the big announcement happened a little after 1 o'clock. Joe Biden sent out...
You were watching TV at the time. You caught the news just as it happened.
Well, actually, yeah, I had the TV on in the background, but I saw it first on X, and that's where he posted it first. He didn't release it to the networks exactly. He did it on X right away.
It's kind
this letter
in with Elon, I guess. So.
You think so? I doubt that, but
I know.
You know, and of course the word got out. Now, what I love about TV coverage, you know, I have either CNN or MSNBC on video, but I keep the sound down most of the time because the crawl tells you any headlines. So I had it on in the
closed
background.
Closed caption lets you know.
You know, and I'm just cleaning up around the house and, you know, doing dishes and laundry and all the stupid crap you got to do on the weekend.
Oh, sure.
And I check X, and there's this letter from Joe Biden on there. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. And then I texted you. I started texting, you know, spreading the word. And there they are on CNN and MSNBC. And, just kept going all day and all night. And actually, we've got a caller on the line here to talk about this, too.
Let's go to Jacob.
Jacob is on the line with John and Gordy. Good morning, Jacob.
Hey there. First of all, you guys put on a good show, and I think that goes without saying. And second of all, I know that there are some people who are heartbroken that Grandpa Joe is out of the race.
Okay.
But I've never been more stoked for an election. I've only lived through 5 in my short life on this planet, and I was devastated that we were going to have 2 men approaching 80 running for office.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at Kamala. She's so happy. Trump's attack on her at a rally was laughing Kamala. You ever seen her laugh and smile? And it's like, really, buddy, that's the best you got?
That's
she
it.
Likes to smile.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the best they got.
They're cooked.
Yeah.
They're cooked, man. And Aunt Kamala is going to ride on in there. America's yoga mom is going to run things for 4 years, and I'm so excited.
Well, now, I heard that also Trump put out something about the debate is still on, but he wanted to move it to Fox instead of ABC.
Yes, exactly.
Which, you know, what did we tell you?
Steer it a little bit, you know, at least provide some clapping, some applause, some standing ovations for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But I imagine no matter what network it's on, it's going to be carried by other networks anyway. But
here's one thing, Jacob, and this is my one complaint about Kamala, is that I don't think she's a great speaker. I think all of this time that she's been in office as vice president, I think they should have been attempting to get her to be a better speaker. Now it would really come in handy. She's more of an emotional, she tries for the emotional impact when she speaks, instead of actually more matter-of-fact, more business-like, more presidential.
Yeah.
That's just my impression. What do you think, Jacob?
I'll tell you something. As much as I agree with you, the great thing about Kamala is that now there's only one oldest candidate in the race,
exactly.
And he's older than Joe Biden was the first time he ran.
Yeah,
and that's right. And you brought up a good point, because I texted you, Gordy, about this, and I think it's great to turn the tables now.
Right.
Now let's say that we've got this guy running for president who's way too old.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Well, I think Kamala has a lot of energy. I hear you about her speaking style, but she's really good. And, you know, and again, and a lot of the pundits were talking about this. She's a former prosecutor and an attorney general.
I want her to bring that out.
And you've seen some of these clips of her, you know, in action as a senator, grilling Brett Kavanaugh and grilling Bill Barr.
Yeah.
And she's gonna, that'll be very interesting in the debates. But the news coverage was, you know, pretty expansive on TV. And of course, we had civic media coverage almost immediately last night, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With a special that aired last evening. Terry Bell and Todd Alba were all over it. And of course, Kamala Harris is going to be in Milwaukee. Is that later today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
I'll double check on that.
I think, and Jacob, you probably wanted to see Biden step down. Is that right?
You know, I was largely indifferent for a time until the debate. And after the debate, I love the guy. I think he was a good president. And I just can't hand the car keys to Grandpa.
Right. Okay.
But one of the things I think a lot of us are impressed by, that Biden would actually step down for the country. In this respect.
Well, you know,
I think this is one of the most impressive moves ever by a president.
That, and, you know, he's served the public for 50 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. What a history of, you know, since he was 29, he was a senator, you know, for all those years, and really had some personal tragedies along the way. Mm-hmm. And, he's been an amazing president, got a lot of things done. During his time in office.
But the other thing is, the president doesn't come up with all of these bills.
Right.
He needs a Congress.
Yes.
So the big event here is getting the House and Senate to be dominated by Democrats so they can come up with the agenda, the bills that have to be signed by the president. That's what it's all about. We need the Congress to be Democratic in this case so we can get all of our things passed just like we did during the first couple of years.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Dick is on the line.
Thanks,
with a comment this morning. Dick, go ahead.
Totally agree with your last caller. I think that it breathes a lot of new life into it and sucks the age issue away. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Democrats, I bring it up now all the time. The other thing is, I just don't believe that this nonstop dog whistle slash misogynistic, you know, he's like Don Rickles. A little bit of that humor goes a long way. You know what I mean?
Good like, comparison.
But it wears on you after a while.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it'll wear on the American people. I think they're going to get sick and tired of this nonstop, you know, negative. First of all, she talks about things she will do and will try to do, and all he does is just bash people and trash talk.
And blames.
And I just, exactly. So we'll see what happens, but.
I have
apparently donors are up.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Donations.
Yeah,
I think they
now we know who to donate to.
Well, that's right, and I think they had raised something like $47 million by late last night.
As I mentioned last hour, you know, I got a couple fundraising letters, you know, and I threw them away because I didn't know who to donate to.
Yeah.
So it was hurting the small donors as well as the large billionaires. So and this I thought was interesting, Dick. This is an ex. Response, guess what, MAGA? Hunter Biden doesn't matter. The laptop doesn't matter. Ashley Biden doesn't matter. Biden's age doesn't matter. And Biden's brother doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, all those are off the table.
Yeah,
now.
Geez, now what are they going to talk about?
Right.
Yeah, the Biden crime family is now officially gone.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
That's it.
Well, you know what the big event now is, and my mega friend in Milwaukee called me about this. He says, you know, now that he stepped down, he should also resign as president. If he's not good enough to run for president, he should resign. And this is a big event on the right. I mean, they really, this is their talking point. I saw the development of that talking point. Mm. And then my friend calls me about it. I'm thinking, you're not falling for this. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not falling for anything. That he should step down. No, you're falling for it, and I hung up on him.
Good for you.
I'm done with this.
Okay, Vince.
All right.
You know, and now it turns to, well, who's she going to pick for vice president? You know, there's a lot now. There's tons of speculation about that, and it's got to be somebody from a swing state, maybe that governor from Pennsylvania or somebody from Arizona.
Shapiro?
Shapiro or Mark Kelly from Arizona.
Right. The thing that bothers me about
several
that.
Several other names being floated.
Well, I like Buttigieg.
Well, yeah.
I think he should be in there. But, you know, if you have a black female running for president and you've got a gay male running for vice president, it's a heavy ticket.
Yeah. I think Buttigieg would be great as, like, a secretary of state. I mean, he speaks seven languages. He's been all over the world. He has military experience. He's really good at this stuff.
Rhodes Scholar.
Rhodes Scholar.
This guy is brilliant.
He is. He's amazing.
Please, I want him to run for president someday.
Well, you
know that. Everybody knows that. Okay. He's my favorite guy.
Yeah.
Robert texts in, I can't tell how serious he is about this, but Kamala Harris and Liz Cheney, 2024, they could bring unity back to this country. We'd really see the art of compromise again.
That's an interesting idea.
Liz is crazy. She's nuts right. She did the right thing, and Republicans should have done the right thing. Mm-hmm. And she was a Republican doing the right thing, which is rare. So, no, we should make her vice president. Not on a Democratic ticket.
Well, there'll be a lot of speculation over the next couple of weeks, but
We have a response here, John. Is right. Kamala comes off as inauthentic. Hopefully she fixes that. She should have been coached for the last 3 years.
Well, I think when you're vice president, you have to, you know, cede the spotlight to the president all the time and support him all the time. And now she's on her own. You know, now she'll start to, you know, I think we'll see a different style from her.
Yeah.
So, all right. And we're getting another text in here. Cheney on the ticket sounds good if you're a moron. Okay, that was a nice. Come on.
We've got a fight going on here.
Okay.
In our text.
The texters are battling each other now. Hey, we want to remind you that this portion of the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. You can find them on Madison's east and west sides or online. Just go to Verlo.com. That's Verlo.com.
I want to say hello to Sherry.
What do you got?
She always sends us an emoji.
Every morning we get a different emoji from Sherry in Horicon.
Very nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It says good morning. She's always very bright and chipper, you know. You notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And, of course, you know, we were on the air at 2 and 6.
Pardon me?
With this whole special in regards to the...
We were... Yes, Civic Media was
Kamala,
on the...
Kamala, yeah.
Yeah, on the air right after it happened, about 2 o'clock. Terry Bell and Todd Alba and the news department all making the coverage.
This is good, too. This
what
is good.
We got?
Now Americans can choose between a former DA... and a current convicted felon.
There you go.
There you go.
It is 18 minutes past the hour. We're at 65 degrees, the high near 80 today. Maybe a scattered shower along the way, but I wouldn't worry about it. We're going to talk to Brittany Merlot coming up, and Paul Soglin is in the building here, and we'll be talking to him about all this Kamala Harris and convention talk and a whole lot more about what's happening here in Madison, too, coming up on the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matinee on Air.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, broadcasting from Madison, Wisconsin, high over State Street, a block away from the Capitol Dome.
Yes. It's a beautiful morning, a little cloudy, 65 degrees.
Is there a reason why we heard Herb Alpert?
It was just what I picked,
dating game?
John, I don't
know. Okay,
all right. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Brittany Merlot is at the EAA this morning. And
yes,
she's,
I am.
Hey, how you doing, Brittany?
Good. How are you guys?
You're out there in the field, out in the parking lot, right?
It may look like a parking lot, but this is a massive campground where there are over 13,000 campers here. 13,000.
Man.
Now, we found out last week, Brittany, that you are maybe training to be a pilot. Is that right?
Yes, I'm working on my private pilot's license, mm-hmm. So that's just, you know, the smallest thing that you can get, but it gets you in the air, lets you have that freedom.
Sure. Well, if you have a little extra pocket money for an airplane.
True.
Do you rent airplanes? Can you do that? Is that like a rental car thing?
Yes, you can absolutely rent an airplane. You can also go in with friends to purchase an airplane, or if you have enough dough, you can get your own. Call me. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay. So I know who's making the big money here.
So have you been to the EAA before, or is this your first time there?
Oh, I've definitely been here. I think this is my fourth year that I've been here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how about you guys? Have you ever been?
No.
Never had the opportunity.
I've driven by and seen the large parking lots, and yeah, a lot of people show up for it.
Oh, yes, they do. I think there's like 677,000 people that show up for this event from across the world, too. So, you know, honestly, it's right in our backyard. If you have a chance, you guys should come on up because it is a blast. These people are so amazing. They're so friendly, and you get to see the weirdest, coolest, different airplanes. I mean, stuff that are home builds or things that aren't even flying, really. You know what I mean? They're experimentals that they've built. It's very interesting what's going on here this week.
I was going to say, where are all the planes at? You're standing in the middle of a field, but shouldn't the planes be in the air?
Well, you know what? Actually, no planes are in the air right now. I don't know what's going on, but the gates just opened at 7 a.m. Yeah, there must be some sound thing so that these campers can get a little sleep, but I'm waking them all up right now.
Is that right near Osh Vegas?
Osh Vegas?
Yep.
It is, right across the street. Yeah, there you go.
What are you talking?
That sign, you know it.
What is Osh Vegas?
It's this tiny little thing across the street. It's like, I don't know, what is it, a gas station or something?
I think that's actually a campground, if I'm correct.
Oh, it is, okay.
And I think there's like a little pub restaurant.
Yes, there's something right there, yeah.
So, Brittany, it looks bright and sunny there. How's our weather shaping up for this week?
Yeah, so you are looking at about 83 degrees for your high today, a mix of sun and clouds, maybe a scattered shower in there this afternoon, but a smaller chance. As we go through tomorrow, though, that's when a front is going to be dropping through, and we are looking at about a half an inch of rainfall, showers and storms moving in, but nothing should be severe. So not too bad. And as we go through the rest of the week, sunshine, we get warmer and warmer as we push towards the weekend, and the humidity holds off until next week.
Oh, it's humid today.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
At this moment, because our temperatures are so close to the dew point, technically, yes. But as we go through the afternoon, you'll be all right.
Excellent. Fantastic. Good to hear.
Well, Brittany, enjoy. You're going to be there all week, huh?
I will. Yes, I will. I'll have planes next time. This is your one shot of the campsite.
Okay. Good enough. Well, keep us up to date, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning, all right?
What? I think she's done some wing walking before, haven't you?
Brittany's a wing walker?
Yeah, she's a wing walker.
She's a stunt pilot? Okay.
Okay.
All right, Brittany, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Go have fun.
All right, great.
All right.
Very good. Well, you know what? It is 7:24. Yeah.
We've got our guest here in the studio. Why don't we just start talking to Paul Soglund? Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Paul. Yeah, it's good having you here.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for waking up early with us this morning.
Do you use coffee at all?
No coffee.
No. Yeah. So, Paul, give us your impressions of what's happened here over the last, well, not even 24 hours here with Kamala Harris, now the apparent nominee. That's not official yet, but Joe Biden stepping away from the nomination.
Well, I think it's clearly the best thing that could happen for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden was a great president. I think that when we go back over the last 100 years, FDR got us through the Depression, got us through World War II. LBJ, the Civil Rights Act, and some of his anti-poverty programs. And Joe Biden got us through COVID. And I really think that folks underestimate what might have been the consequences of COVID disabling this country economically if he hadn't taken the steps that he did. There would have been not only so much more consequences in terms of tragic death, but the collapse of the economy would have been far worse than the Great Recession and could have approached the Great Depression if not for the economic programs he launched. I don't think there's any question that great massive spending, both for infrastructure and to keep people employed and in their homes, contributed to the inflation. But the consequences, if that had not happened, would have been far more devastating. Mm-hmm. And perhaps in another 20, 30 years, people come to appreciate what he did over the past 4 years. And it was very difficult for him, but he did put the country first, recognizing what might happen in terms of the disaster, both in terms of the economy as well as our democracy, if Donald Trump is returned to the presidency.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've had some interactions, probably, I would imagine, with Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. Tell us a little about that.
Not Vice President Harris, but Joe Biden several times when he was Vice President for Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. You know, when people have characteristics, perhaps as they get older, they get accentuated.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember the first time I heard him speak at a mayor's conference in Washington, and he was scheduled for, I think it was a half an hour, and he went on for about 45 minutes. So the next time they scheduled him for 45 minutes, and he went on for about an hour. And I seem to recall that the last time I heard him, it was about an hour and 45 minutes. And it's how his mind works, because he can put together a compound sentence which has two or three ideas, and before he goes much further into something different, he's going to touch on all two or three of those points. And it does run over, and it can get confusing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We only have about a minute here before the break, but we're going to have you in our next half hour here.
Yes.
And not only talk about, you know, the current political situation, but you're three different times as mayor of Madison, and what do you think about what's happening here now,
right,
too?
Yeah, the bus system. Excellent. And affordable housing. We want to hear your input on that. I know you had a recent article on that, mm-hmm. your editorial. We'll talk about that.
With former mayor of Madison, Paul Soglund, joining us within our next half hour, 7:29. We're back with more of the John and Gordy Show for this Monday in just a few moments.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Wisconsin's Ag Export Council finally seeing some business. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. Wisconsin Senator Joan Bolwig from Marquesan, chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, says the investment that they made 2 years ago in starting a Wisconsin Agriculture Export Council finally paying dividends.
One of the key winners has been dairy. Over the last 2 years, we've seen overall a 47% increase in our dairy exports since 2021. A huge increase in 22, not as big an increase, but still an increase in 2023. So that was good. Our meat exports and our crop exports all were up in 22, but down now in 23. But this follows the national trend.
That's Wisconsin Senator Joan Bolwig. She says one of the keys to the success of the Wisconsin Agriculture Export Council is the cooperation that they're receiving from both the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, as well as the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. They both provide one-on-one assistance to new and experienced exporters, helping them with regulatory compliance issues, as well as giving them information on country protocols.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at GumsFarmsWI.com.
You're invited to Close Farms and Country Fest in Chippewa County for this year's Farm Technology Days, growing to the tune of success. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the future of agriculture. There's also food trucks, music, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 13th through the 15th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
And a new group has been organized to speak up on behalf of production agriculture, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, the Wisconsin Towns Association, Wisconsin Electric Cooperative Association, and the Welch Group have formed the Rural Policy Institute. It'll be a nonprofit, nonpartisan coalition of agricultural and rural organizations completely dedicated to research and development of policies that promote generational prosperity for Wisconsin's rural communities. Find more at MidwestFarmReport.com. There's a quick farm news update on a Monday. I'm PM Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 81 for a high this afternoon with a light breeze out of the north switching to the west here by later this afternoon. Partly cloudy and calm tonight, 64 tomorrow. Partly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms and a high tomorrow right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Burrow has a lifetime comfort guarantee because you can't risk it when it comes to that all-important, never long enough, cozy dreamland we call sleep. You can't let something like a mystery-made mattress in a box get between you and that much-needed shut-eye. We will adjust the comfort of your mattress for its lifetime, and we call that a lifetime comfort guarantee. And for that, you gotta go to Verlo. American-made, locally crafted, welcome to Verlo.
If you're looking to get a new car, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive. Sure, you love your old car, but you know it's not normal to give instructions on how to open the window. It should be self-explanatory, but it's not. And notice how when you're in other people's cars, you can feel cushion in the seats? That's pretty nice, right? No, it's just normal. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and put the savings toward a new car. It's time. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states.
T. Schwab.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison and welcome hilarious comedian Pat McGann and singer-songwriter Marta Hansen joins the show and performs live in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Weeknights 7 till 9.
A
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Decaffeinated Caffeine, for people who like feeling nervous and wide awake, but hate running to the bathroom all the time.
7:34.
I didn't know.
66 degrees. Highs today about 80. It's the John and Gordy Show with our special guest, former mayor of Madison, Paul Soglin. Paul, great to have you with us.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know, we were talking a little bit about how great a President Biden was. But, you know, if it wasn't for him, Trump had pretty much made all the available help for COVID on the private market, put it out there for competition, the states competing with each other. That ended once Biden came into office. That was a disaster waiting to happen. Right?
Well, I think what's critical is this. Treating the nation took more than just getting people immunized. Mm-hmm. We know, even today, in the last couple of days, I know of what we would call super spread. I know of two super spreader events just in the last couple of days. One involved a wedding. The other involved actually a political event. Mm-hmm. But what is really key is understanding people have to go to work. If they don't go to work, they don't have incomes. If they don't go to work, they don't have incomes. Not only can't they pay their rent, but they can't go shopping, and they can't keep the rest of the economy afloat. And all these other people who are in service and manufacturing industries start losing their jobs, and then the whole thing just spirals out of control.
Right.
That is what Joe Biden did. He stopped that from happening. There was a very tough period in the first 18 months that he was president, but he kept income flowing in. He kept production going. He kept the nation's economy from going into another, not great recession, but great depression. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be recognized 10, 20, 30 years from now as one of the greatest presidential achievements in the last 100 years.
Right. And a lot of that inflation, maybe a little bit was part of the stimulus after COVID, but it was greedflation.
Yeah, there was. And you cannot have those billions and billions of dollars of infrastructure investment, of economic investment. I mean, one of the interesting reports I saw just in the last week was how many small businesses were able to stay afloat because of, in effect, the economic bridge of money that came from the Biden administration. And I wish that all the folks who benefited from that, whether they were owners of these businesses or employees or suppliers to these businesses who then could keep going, would appreciate that when they cast their vote in November.
Mm-hmm.
Because absolutely, it was not Donald Trump. Right. Who, in fact, he wanted to do the exact opposite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Paul, I want to ask you about this. Now, this year, we've seen an attempted assassination of Trump. We've seen a lot of political turmoil. Biden at the debate, you know, and everybody remembers what happened there. A lot of things are happening all at the same time. Does it flash? And here Biden is stepping away from running for president. It reminds me a lot about 1968 when Lyndon Johnson came to that conclusion that he, you know, the Vietnam War was raging. He stepped away from running at the end of March of 1968. A few days later, Martin Luther King gets assassinated. Bobby Kennedy, who was running, gets killed. Is there anything we can learn from history when we go through these tumultuous political upheavals? And it kind of feels like that right now. Well, you remember those days very well because you were right there in the front lines.
I was. And in fact, that election in April of 68, where Johnson dropped out of the race a couple of days before the Wisconsin primary, was also my first election to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple of things that strike me. First is it's not just the rhetoric of violence, but it is the resentment and ultimately the need to punish that comes out of some very angry people. We're aware of the politics of resentment. Well, that politics of resentment can escalate into a politics of retribution, which we see it in Donald Trump's rhetoric, but we also see it in regards to people who feel threatened by women, threatened by people of color, threatened by people who've emigrated to the United States. And unfortunately, that is the history of this country. I mean, we can go back to a few years after this nation was formed for the first Alien and Sedition Act, the first time we were threatened by foreigners. In that case, it was in response to the French Revolution and people not wanting French aristocrats to come into the new United States of America. We see it in the mid-19th century, the 1840s, with the Know-Nothings. And on both the left and the right, this history has, our country has a history of populist rhetoric and populist action, which is a resentment against the elites. There were people 8 years ago who were torn between voting for Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Left, right, left, and yet there's a commonality that both of them spoke about taking on the elites. Now we got to figure out who are the elites and who are these people that we don't want running our society. Is it going to be the folks with the billions of dollars who are attached to the hip with Donald Trump, who only want to make more money? Or is it going to be perhaps some people with a lot of money but believe in social justice? And they are resented as elites from the right.
Well, many of these boomers who are now in charge in Congress, they grew up during the turbulent 60s and 70s. And it seems like they have a resentment from that time period, that they want to take it all back, that it was a great injustice having all of those individuals win their, what they believed in, women's liberation, birth control, Roe v. Wade, the sexual revolution. And the anti-war movement. They thought that they lost this and they want to get it back. Do you feel that way?
All right, so in the 60s, and as the war in Vietnam expanded in 65, 66, 67, one of the observations I made in criticism of the so-called greatest generation, because that greatest generation perpetuated Jim Crow laws and perpetuated racism, perpetuated the exploitation of other countries, and in my judgment, weren't so great. They were fortunate enough to have been born at a time to combat the Great Depression and fascists, but there's a lot of bad things that came from that generation. So our generation was the victims of the Vietnam War, and what I said and observed at the time is it was going to split our generation forever, and it has. And so you've got baby boomers who can trace their roots back to Vietnam, overlay that with the civil rights movement, and out of that comes two very, very different views of this nation and what it ought to be. And it's perfectly manifested in somebody like a Bill Clinton or a Joe Biden and by a Donald Trump. And that battle, unfortunately, is not over.
Right.
We had some victories along the way in terms of a women's right to make decisions about her own body. We had victories in terms of the civil rights movement and voting. But Donald Trump and Republicans all over the country are turning back that legislation of the 60s.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with former mayor of Madison, Paul Soglin, and let's go local here for a minute. Any thoughts of running for mayor again? You've been mayor three different times in your life for several terms.
People said to me, particularly during COVID, it said to me, I suppose you're really glad you're not there right now. And actually, there's parts of it that I miss. I miss the staff. I miss the teams that we put together to tackle serious problems and solving those problems. Then I wake up on a Wednesday morning and I read about a city council meeting, or maybe I have to wait till Thursday because it went till 4 a.m. And I think about the city council, and it's just, I know I am in a great place right now.
That's what I always think when I think of the city council. You know,
you shared with
and let
us.
Let me just say, there's about 5 or 6 members of the council that I really respect.
All right.
There are. All right, good. 5 or 6.
You got that.
That's
in.
It. Okay. Okay.
Get credit for that.
You mentioned while we were off the air for a few minutes that you're putting your memoirs together. You've been working on this for a while.
I've been working on this. I'm not as aggressive a writer as one ought to be. Mm-hmm. My guess is that somebody a little more serious than myself would have finished in about 2 years, and we're in about year 5 or 6 now. I can't remember.
That happens.
But I've got 5 friends who are writers who have been reading each chapter as it finally comes out. They give me their feedback, their comments. Now I'm in the process, actually, of the second major rewrite or edit. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, here's what happened. As I wrote the book, I finished up, I said, you know, there's some themes in here, mm-hmm. dealing with immigration, dealing with civil rights, dealing with populism, that have just naturally come, but I haven't tied it together. So I had to go all the way back from the beginning and sort of bring those themes together.
So you expect that'll be out later
about
this year?
47 years.
Well, we'll have to wait, I guess.
Well, you're going to have to add a whole new page after being on the program
there
this morning.
There you go.
You know, I was going to say, you know, the impact. We were talking earlier about Biden stepping down. One of the things, I like to think that he finally put in place an infrastructure repair bill that this country so needed for so many years. You know, we needed to put some money back into the system and fix things up for the current generation, the Gen Zers. We needed to fix it up so they didn't have to spend their money on it. And we finally went ahead and did something.
The morning after Donald Trump was elected, I was asked to comment about the prospects of a Trump presidency. And I tried to find a silver lining in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, he's talked about public investment in infrastructure. Maybe we'll get something out of that. Well, I'm glad I didn't hold my breath.
Right.
But the kind of effort that Biden led and achieved really was recognized in the early 1990s. And so it took close to 30 years for a president to finally achieve, and it only scratches the surface.
Right.
It's not just about roads and bridges. It's about waterways and just public schools, everything.
The future of energy.
Yeah, we've been, this last 40, 50 years, we've probably been more lackadaisical about public investment and infrastructure than any time in this nation's history. We could spend... You want to go 2 hours?
Maybe not 2 hours, but can you stay with us another few minutes, Paul?
Sure.
All right. Yeah. It is 7:49. We're visiting with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. We'll be back with more on the John and Gordy Show in just a moment.
Yeah.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome to the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually a really good idea. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX, the John and Gordy Show, is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Sides or online at verlo.com.
Our special guest, former mayor Paul Soglin, in the studio this morning. We're asking a few important questions here on the show, and one is... do you hate it when people walk up to you and say hello to you because they recognize you? Does it disrupt your life in any way, shape, or form? Because I saw you at Woodman's and I was afraid to walk up to you and ask you to be on the show.
The only time it bothers me is if they say hello, Dr. Pastor, or they think I'm Marshall Shapiro, my dear friend who owned the Nitty Gritty, who passed away a few years ago.
Yeah. Marsh Shapiro, and Dr. Zorba Pastor.
Right.
Yeah. You do have a resemblance to Zorba.
We have mustaches.
Paul, how do you spend your days now? Yeah. You're mostly
besides
retired?
Shopping at Woodman's.
Besides shopping at Woodman's, I work out 3 days a week. Went in a class. Mm-hmm. My wife and I try to go to the pool for 1 or 2 hours every day if it's, as we call it, a pool day. Mm-hmm. I try and spend a couple hours there writing. During the summers, I manage my fantasy baseball team. We're in first place this year so far.
Okay.
Got a long way to go. Keeping tabs of what our daughters are up to.
You a big Cub fan?
Pardon?
Are you a Cub fan?
No. I grew up on the South Side. White Sox.
White Sox. Hyde Park, yeah.
Okay. And so there's that. And then, I follow what's going on in local government and try not to tear my hair out.
Well, you're not afraid to make a few comments occasionally about some things that are happening in Madison.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the middle of winter. We got nailed with 2 or 3 snowstorms, and there was some snow laying around for seemed like a long time. And you had some comments about how the city handled that.
Well, what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years is there's been a... shall we say, a dumbing down of city services, whether it's snow removal. For folks who take items, waste to the drop-off sites, the drop-off sites are open half as many hours as they were years ago, especially if you work all week and you want to go there on a Sunday.
Yep.
So you got those kinds of problems. And what disturbs me about it is not so much the fact that they're being dumbed down as much as the fact that it's happening and people are not cognizant of it, that the city council is not aware of it. I was with a council member a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you took 3 votes to adopt the budget. That's three are required for what they did. And I said, you know, the first vote you took was to adopt the budget, which is required by law. The second vote you took was to adopt the levy limit, which is required by law. And I said, did you know what the third vote was, the one that was a three-quarter vote? And this person did not know what it was. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that probably three-quarters of the council doesn't know what that three-quarter vote is and why it's necessary in these budget times. There's been a whole change in process. I come from what I call the Tom Sawyer School of Management, which is you got a fence that needs to be painted and it probably needs repair. So you can either do it yourself, or what you do is you engage a whole lot of folks and get them to do it. And not only do you get to sit on the sidelines and watch, but they now take ownership in the fence. They're protectors of the fence. They are going to be really cognizant.
Invested in it.
They're vested in it, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So for that to happen, it means you have to give up control. You're going to have to give up control, and that could be messy, could be sloppy, and you might end up with an outcome you don't like. They may paint it a different color. They may put flowers on it when you wanted frogs. But in the end, overall, I think that that process is far superior to the process we've seen now, whether we're talking about buses, whether we're talking about housing, whether we're talking about city finance, which is for everything to be fashioned administratively from the top between the mayor's office and the city departments. And then, sure, it's democratic, but then it's presented to the people to respond to. Mm-hmm. And responding is a far weaker position in terms of determining outcome than is actually building it, actually fashioning it. And like I said, if you let people take control, you don't necessarily get what you want. But in the outcome, I think everything's overall is better.
You were talking about the transit plans, BRT. And you mentioned something about regional transit authorities. Aren't those banned by the state now?
The state, to create a regional, to create an RTA, mm-hmm. the legislature has to act and give you the legislative authority to do it. It's been done for Milwaukee. There's been two cities in the state in the last decade or two that have wanted it. One is Appleton, the other is Madison. Jim Doyle had the legislation in place, was ready to work on it. He leaves office, and basically what happened was Scott Walker, that was the guy who succeeded him. Yeah. Walker dismantled all of that. Now's the time to bring it back. And
yes,
this is critical. I don't think we can assume, in fact, we should not assume, that Republicans in the legislature, including Robin Voss, are going to say no. That is a very faulty assumption.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I'm optimistic.
Well, I am now. I didn't think they'd ever pass anything to help this governor out. Give him one win. Impossible. But okay, well, we'll look forward to that attempt anyway.
Paul, we are all out of time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's been a long time since we've done this before, since we never have.
Yeah.
Let's try it again.
We'd love to have you back. To do that. Yeah.
Love to have
find
you
out about the 60s, some of the groups you knew, hung out with, some of the stories.
Thank you, Paul Soglin. We'll talk to you again
soon. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. That's going to do it for the John and Gordy Show for this Monday. We will be back bright and early, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm pretty
okay,
sure.
Okay. We'll try to make it.
All right. And have a great day. So long.
Yep, you too.
John Gordy Show.
John Gordy
in the morning. As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll catch you up on news of the weekend and also the current status of the Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Not going to want to miss it. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has an opening for an account executive in our Madison office. In this position, you'll help connect our loyal and engaged audience to local businesses. This is an outside sales position, so experience in business-to-business, prospecting, and closing local businesses is important. Our portfolio of solutions for advertisers includes radio, podcasting, and digital solutions. Learn more and apply online. Go to civicmedia.us, click on About Us, and work with us.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.